Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CatCast episode number 290. I am your host, GPD, coming at you from Tokyo, Japan. And of course, we've got Wombat.
Hi, I'm here.
That was not at the same levels of enthusiasm that I had presented at.
Yeah, I'm here.
That was awkward. At the best, that was awkward. Shipwreck, can you do any better?
Hello.
How about cheese and crackers? No? All right.
No.
We're excited this week, apparently. What are we excited about?
Yeah,
I don't
what's
know.
Going on?
I'm standing up. So that gets
that'll
me,
do it.
That gets
Should
me fired
I stand
up.
Up too?
No, because you don't have a desk that supports that, so we won't be able to hear you.
I am very short.
Right. So maybe it'll work. You're right. Welcome to the show, everybody. Wombat is very short.
He has circumvented the need to buy a $2,000 desk.
Right.
Exactly.
If only I was 5'3", then I would need a standing
desk.
I'm not
5'3",
Dick. 5'4", whatever.
5'6".
You sure you're not sneaking in an inch on me?
Ew.
Ba-dum-bum. That's all. I think that's from Full Metal Jacket.
Is that what that is?
If memory serves me correctly. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. I think we have a lot of interesting things to talk about. Shipwreck and I both finished Spec Ops The Line, and we'll talk about the game a little bit, and I think and after the show, we'll do a very short spoiler talk, because it's sort of an interesting game, at least to discuss, at the very least. So we'll talk about that. We're going to talk
and
about...
I'll be sleeping during that.
It's, yeah, you can go ahead and render your file while that's happening, I guess, or whatever you do when we're done. We're going to talk about some Kickstarter stuff. We're going to talk about some PC games. We're going to talk about, I don't know, a lot of good stuff to talk about. I think we should just get right into it, Wombat. How have you been doing lately?
I've been good. Now, I want to bring up to you a situation that I was in over the weekend to see what you would say in this situation.
Okay.
Now, I already told this story to Shipwreck, so it's not new news to him, but... So I was at a party on Sunday afternoon, and one of the guests at the party was an investment banker, I think a hedge fund manager or something like that.
Right. A muckety-muck.
A muckety-muck. A big macha. And
he offered you $50 to touch his penis.
He did, and I took that. But after
right.
that, he was talking to someone else at the party, and I was, you know, in the midst in that conversation eating a carrot stick. And he was talking about how he's expecting to have a...
Whoa. I want to hear more about this carrot stick.
And I'm calling bullshit on the carrot stick. Don't you mean hot dog?
No, it was a carrot stick. Carrot stick. Crudité. It was appetizer. It was still appetizer time. And he was talking about how, you know, he was expecting to see some good returns the Q4 when they invest heavily into Nintendo because he expects big things from the Wii U.
Whoa. Okay.
Now,
did you
hear
choke
this
on your carrot at this point?
I did.
Spit take?
I did a little bit of a spit take. Now, what would you do in that situation? What would you say to this person?
I would give him my opinion, which is... first, I would ask him why he expects big things from the Wii U. Before I would jump in with my opinion, I would get his opinion. Like, why do you think the Wii U is going to be so great?
So far, you've done exactly what I did.
Okay, and what did he say?
He said because the Wii was such a big seller.
Right. Okay. And then, did you go on to give him your opinion?
What I went and said after that was, have you seen or played with a Wii U yet?
Right.
To which he responded, no.
Okay.
Now, I have no. For all I know, there could be millions, potentially, you know, I don't know the size of the hedge fund. It could be billions, for all
sure.
we know.
How sure. do I give this guy my money?
And I said to him, I'm like, you know, hey, you know, you may want to consider
not
using one.
Oh. Right.
You know, what I said to him was, you know, I think I think what was great about the Wii and what really helped catapult that into, you know, the American household was how well it played on the Today Show in Ellen.
Sure, absolutely.
And what I said to him is, I just don't know if the Wii U can play on the Today Show in Ellen.
The Kinect as well. Kinect got the same boost from being able to show well on daytime television.
Yeah, and even nighttime. I think Jimmy Fallon, I think, was the first person to really show that, and it did really well. It looked great. It looked like a whole lot of fun there.
Right.
So, I talked about it, and I didn't say don't do it. I didn't say, hey, I said, I'm no financial expert.
Right.
But I strongly recommend you get some hands-on with the Wii U to really see what it's all about before you go ahead and put your $18 billion into it.
What did he say?
He actually really appreciated my feedback.
Did you tell him that you had, you're a big shot and you actually had played with it?
I told him that I had played the, with the Wii U at E3 and that I had had some hands-on time with it. And, I just don't think the appeal is there as,
right.
That's equivalent to the Wii. See, I don't think it's an equivalent appeal that I don't think you could just vertically move one into the other.
My response to him would be really reliant on how many drinks I've had at that party. If I had, I'd say, three or more drinks, I would, my eyes would be rolling back in the back of my head, and I'd be, you're making a big mistake, the Wii U. But if I was sober, I'd probably be more refined.
I tried to be. I was polite. I didn't say, you fucking idiot.
Right. And then I would throw up on his shoes, obviously.
Exactly.
Maybe it'll do well. Blah! I don't know. They haven't even announced the price point yet, right?
Exactly. Nope. That's the other thing I said. I said, if you can, wait until they announce the price for this thing.
Right. If you can, put that money into Apple. I mean, wait for the price of the Wii U.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, well, that's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I wish I had something exciting. I wish I met somebody exciting, but I haven't.
I wouldn't necessarily say it was exciting. You were just someone at a party.
Right. But the carrot sounded exciting.
The carrot was very good.
My Fitbit met my washing machine.
You pulled a Major Nelson.
I did. I was outside. I was doing some weeding, so I just had like a pair of basketball shorts on. So I just stuck it in the pocket.
Really? What book were you weeding?
And then I came inside and I was sweating. So I just immediately threw everything in the washing machine. And then I went upstairs, took my shower, and then halfway through my shower, I realized what I had done.
Right.
And so I ran downstairs, pulled it out, stuck it in a bag of rice, and now it works again. It's amazing.
See, if that was me, those dirty pants would have sat in a pile somewhere for at least a week before it found its way into a washing machine. So I'd be safe.
There you go.
Yeah, that's why I said belt. Only
use
the Fitbit.
I wear a belt while I'm wearing basketball shorts weeding my yard.
Right.
What were you weeding in your yard?
New York twimes. Wow, by the way, I don't know if you saw my tweet before, but you've heard about my Steam issues. And I've, opened up a support ticket with them. And every response from them has been, it could have been written by a computer, just taking out the keywords in my question and just linking me to one of their support pages. So finally, I was like, can you just please read what I wrote in my original ticket and look at the attachments? Because they have, they one of their support pages tells you some specific things to do and send them this text file that has all this technical information in it, and I did all that. I kept getting just these, computerized responses. So finally, and I just posted it on Twitter, I wrote back in all caps, for the love of God, will you please just read my original ticket and look at the attachments? And they responded to me right away with that. Usually it takes 3 or 4 days to get a response for them. But they just basically wrote, after looking over your attachments and information, there's little we in support can do about experiencing slow internet connections. So
solved that one for you.
They didn't solve.
I'm glad you got that response.
Oh, actually, they sent me, please attach the following file to this case so we can further diagnose the issue. Okay, so they're doing something on it about it.
And by something you mean they're gonna look at your piece of paper again.
A different one.
Oh, okay.
And it's a digital piece of paper.
You don't want to miss out on those sales.
Well, I can still get them with, you know, running my VPN, but it's just annoying. Running Super Programmer John's VPN, anyway.
I understand.
You understand. It is annoying. And this, yes, the Steam sale is on right now. And we'll maybe talk about that later. Some people had questions about it, so we'll talk about that later. Why don't we... I see you wrote down something here under our Watch This Bitches segment. I haven't seen any movies, so I have nothing
I skipped the $5 Tuesday this week, too. So
What was it?
Well, I can choose whatever I want.
Oh, wow. Yeah, man.
But I didn't go.
You know, we have a $20 Thursday in here in Tokyo.
That's not bad.
It's pretty sweet.
They announced that there's an Assassin's Creed movie in the works. Starring Facebender.
Fassbender? Fassbender. Michael Fassbender? Magneto from Maxman First Class.
Yeah,
that's interesting, I guess.
He's good. I like him. I think he's a good actor.
Nice body. Nice cock.
Have you seen that movie, Shane?
I haven't. I want to see it. Not for his cock, but I like movies that have a lot of sex in them.
I have a friend in that movie. And she gets naked in it, so I don't know if I could see that movie.
Oh.
It would be weird.
It would. I have a theory that if Mrs. Cheapy and I watch movies that have lots of sex in them, then we'll have more sex.
Yeah, I don't think it works that way.
Well, yeah, it doesn't.
Okay, at least we know.
Right. Oh, speaking of sex, I just got a breaking email from my mom. She says, speaking of Fitbit.
Ew.
She said, just wanted to tell you I am really enjoying my Fitbit Ultra Tracker. I am really getting into it. We'll tell you more about it when we speak. Many thanks for it. Mom.
Now read the same letter again, but replace the word Fitbit with sex.
That's gross. All right, let's move on to some show feedback.
Yes. Bandodine has to say, thanks, Bickle, for doing Cheapy's job. Now, I don't think he's necessarily doing your job, but I do want to give him a big shout out to Bickle and thank him for putting all those show notes together that he's been doing for the last few weeks now. It's really cool.
That is awesome, Bickle. Thank you. The problem, I can't really do that because it will add an extra hour and however long the show is, plus a little bit more time to the production of the show. I mean, I guess I could do it after the fact, but I just... You know, I don't have that much time to do it. Bickle does it. And I don't like listening. I don't listen to the show. I don't really want to listen to me. I feel like there's something egotistical about listening to my own podcast. So I only listen to as much of it as I need to produce it. And then that's it. So
I will usually only listen to the intro music and the outro music just to see what you put on.
To see how much you hate it.
Pretty much. Yeah. You have the worst taste in music in America. In Japan. Okay.
and Japan,
maybe the planet.
Okay, thank you. Well, at least I'm international.
Yeah.
What else we got?
Thorbon 3 says, I agree with Wombat on the iPad being a learning tool for toddlers. You could buy a shitty PC and a bunch of cheap software for a fraction of an iPad's cost. What? You can even buy one of the Leapfrog handhelds or something like it for far less.
Am I getting parenting advice from Thorbon?
Yes, you are.
There's some serious, bad ideas in there.
Where am I going to put this magical PC for my 4-year-old son?
I still recommend getting books with pens.
I have the tag reader markers, also. Yeah.
The Leapfrog tag good. Thing is cool, but the software for that stuff is not cheap.
Some of it's pretty expensive. We have the MobiGo. And regular price, if you don't get it on sale, software is $20.
Yeah, it's crazy talk. You're better off with the iPad.
No, because the MobiGo itself is only like $50.
Yeah, but here's what you do.
Has four games.
Okay.
So even still, we're way under.
What you do is you buy, first of all, I mean, I already have an iPad. It's not like I bought the iPad to give to Ty. It's my iPad and he can use it. Or when I upgrade the iPad, I give him the old one, which I've done that as well. So I'm not suggesting that someone go buys an iPad for their kid. But if you have one already, or if you're upgrading, you can give the kid the old one and, you know, it's good to go. I'm just saying there's a lot of good educational software on there. And I believe that the fact that Ty can read and, you know, and he's, you know, bilingual is...
And he can flick ice cubes into a plumber's crack.
Right. There's not many four-year-olds that can experience that. So I credit the iPad with some of Ty's educational experiences. That's all I'm saying. But okay, thank you, then. Thorbon. I love you. I'll have a baby with you someday. And then
do we
want to
do one more? Or do we want to move on to new releases?
Okay, so I'll just summarize this. It's more about my Steam problem. And I mentioned a theory that we had last week. And I think I might have disproven the theory wrong because I'm still able to download games from Amazon and Origin and anywhere else incredibly fast, just not Steam. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on. It's an enigma wrapped in a riddle, wrapped in bacon. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to some new releases. If there are any, I don't even know. But I'm going to click on this.
Yeah, there's some. NCAA Football 13 came out.
Go Pitt.
I thought you were going to say go Penn State.
No, I wouldn't do that. That's poor taste.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. NCAA Football 13. That's our review of that.
I don't know anything about it.
What else came out? Oh, it came out last Friday for Xbox Live Arcade, but it came out this week for PS3. Frogger Hyper Arcade Edition, which I like Frogger. Like, I'm not ashamed to admit that I like Frogger.
Yeah, okay.
And this is their attempt at doing the Pac-Man Championship Edition or Galaga Legions, all updated and got all the crazy colors going on and everything. But it's $10. There's a lot of different modes in it. And it's got like other graphics from other Konami games as well. Like, you can play on a board that has Contra characters, and there's a Castlevania board that you can play on as well.
Which version did you get?
I got the Xbox 360 version.
Because it's on iOS as well, and it's much cheaper.
I'm too much of a Frogger snob to try to play Frogger with an right. iPhone. That just seems like a really bad way to play Frogger.
I understand that.
But we actually have a code to give away for PSN.
Is it essentially just Frogger, though? Is there anything special or unique about it?
No, there's a whole bunch of new modes. There's like a four-player mode where every time you hop, it turns that square your color. And you can kind of paint over other people's colors. But when you get to the other side and hop on your lily pad or whatever, then it locks all of your blocks for 15 seconds. And so it's kind of like a capture the area type of game. There's a mode that just like mixes all the different modes together. Like, it just constantly changes up. There's a challenge mode where you have to paint different pictures and get so many points on different boards and everything. It's got like five or six different modes. There's a lot there. The music is actually pretty cool too.
What makes it cool?
It's a lot of like, I don't know, it's like Daft Punk sounding. But it'll say stuff like Go Frog Go in the middle of it.
That makes any song infinitely more cool.
It does. I don't think they sell the soundtrack for this game. I'd like the soundtrack for it. It even has the Buckner and Garcia Froggy's Lament.
Oh, wow.
On it. The problem is, I'm pretty good at Frogger.
Right.
And so I went in and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go for my high score run here. And so I started up, I pick a song. That song just plays on repeat. So I was hearing Froggy's Lament on repeat for like a half hour.
It only plays one song?
They have like 11 or 12 songs that they've created for this game, but you have to select which specific song you want to play.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You must be doing it wrong. Like, that
I
can't
hope
be
I'm doing it wrong.
Yeah, that can't be. That cannot be right.
But
that just doesn't make any sense at all.
I agree.
Well, do you like the game? I like it.
I'm pretty much done with it. I flew through it really quickly.
How are you on the leaderboards?
I was number – I got to number 7 or 6. But then I didn't realize that if you let time run out, that it's game over even though you have a bunch of lives left.
Oh, you don't just lose one life.
Yeah, you don't just lose a life. Like, if time's running out, you should just like jump into the river in front of a car or something.
Gotcha.
And the problem is, like, I could get the high score if I wanted to, because after you get used to the pattern of those five levels, it just keeps repeating. So
that's kind of budget to me.
Yeah.
You like Frogger.
It's Frogger.
You have the Frogger bias.
Right. I do have a Frogger bias.
All
right. Go Frogger.
Fair enough. What else we got this week? Anything here?
Quantum Conundrum came out that came out for PC before. Now it's out on consoles. That's the Kim Swift
right,
the kind of like Portal thing.
What's Dungeon Fighter Live?
That's not out yet, I don't think.
I thought it's out Friday?
I think it's out Friday, maybe.
What is it?
It's a side-scrolling MMO that's, I believe, free to play on the PC.
Yes, it is.
That is coming out for Xbox Live Arcade.
All right.
And I've heard anything the Xbox else? Live Arcade game only has like 3 or 4 out of the 8 character classes.
Something
DLC,
like that.
Future
yeah,
DLC.
DLC.
Yes.
For 3DS, Rhythm Thief and the Emperor's Treasure came out. I've heard that's supposed to be decent. And nothing for Vita.
Nothing for Vita. Right. Poor Vita. No, still no foosball. 2012. Later this month, they say.
In fact, I
was so hungry for foosball, I went and downloaded a iOS foosball game, but it did not scratch the itch.
But we do have a copy of Frogger for PSN to give away.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right, let's move on.
Yeah.
To great. What? How about some CAG shopping news? So the Steam sale is going on, and the most popular question on Twitter for us was, and this one comes from Longshot099 and many others, what is on everyone's wish list to pick up for cheap?
I'm going to buy all of them.
All of them.
I'll buy all of them.
It's, I don't feel like there's that much that I want to get, so I'm not that excited, and I'm not one of these people who are just going to buy stuff for the sake of buying it. I'm really only going to buy something if I'm going to play it. So for me, I don't know. I feel like I'm sort of interested in Sins of the Solar Empire, the new one. I feel like I want to play some sort of strategy space game. But I also know that I don't want to study. And I know those games have a lot of studying and learning. And I hate both of those things. So other than that, I don't really know what I'm looking for. Do you have anything on your list, Ship?
I hope Dino Beatdown goes on sale.
Okay.
That's the game where you shoot dinosaurs with guns.
That sounds good.
Yeah, and it's a online co-op thing. I don't think that hasn't been part of the sale yet. It's still $10 full price, so. I don't know. I looked through all the games and they're all the same games that I have on Xbox.
Right, that's the problem. I'm not going to rebuy. And the only game that I rebought that I had on Xbox was Saints Row. And clearly I paid too much for it because it's like $12 now. But that was, yeah, I don't really see myself doing that.
And they have those bundles where it's like $50 for like, I don't know, 10 games from THQ or something.
Right.
But it's like, you look at it, it's like $50. I'm not going to play all those games. Or I've already played those games. Like, I don't know. I have not been too impressed with the Steam summer sale so far. I mean, there's good deals in there if you don't have them already, but.
Right. But I'm not a hoarder. I'm not a Steam hoarder. I'm not looking to just have a big Steam library for the sake of having it.
You know what you should pick up?
What's that?
It's I think it's $1.79. And mm-hmm. Wombat, you should get this too.
It's
on Xbox Live Indie Games.
Oh, okay.
It's a game called Wizorb.
Oh, I saw you playing that.
Yeah, it's like Arkanoid, but with an RPG twist. Like, it has a 16-bit RPG feel to it.
Can you use a controller?
You can use the Xbox controller, yes.
All right, I'm in.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Okay.
It's got boss battles and everything. It's Arkanoid, but it's good.
I like Arkanoid.
I will check it out. I am familiar with the Xbox. Oh, you know what we didn't mention? Nick's game came out this week.
Oh, that's right.
Which I can't remember what it's called.
Somebody find that.
Blue Alliance? Is that right?
But it has some
Scar Blue Alliance.
Shar
Blue Shield Alliance. That's who I buy insurance with.
Right, that's Nick from Co-Optimus. Yeah, I mean, supposedly it's pretty good. We saw it at E3. It seemed pretty
cool. We played
it
at E3.
I know. So it's out now. Cool. Good for him. Congratulations, Nick.
It's on Xbox Live Indie Arcade. Support our friends. Buy his game.
Yep. Also, the Amazon PC game sale is still going on. There's a lot of good deals there. I bought Binary Domain for $10, and I was actually live streaming it on twitch.tv/GBassGamer.
How did you do? How are you liking it?
I remember you telling me that the first hour is pretty slow.
It is.
And yeah, it's funny. You play for an hour, and then you get to like the introductory cutscene and title screen after you play for an hour. It seems okay. I didn't get much farther than that. And the part that is right after that is the demo that was on Xbox and PlayStation.
Right. So, after you get past that, then it gets good. Starts picking up.
But the feedback from people watching it was that they were generally impressed with the game. I think it was a little better than they thought it was going to be. So for $10, I mean, it's certainly worth a shot. And Spec Ops: The Line is still $24.99, which we can talk about now, actually. Is now a good time to talk about Spec Ops?
I don't have anything else going on.
Okay.
I could use a nap.
You can pick this up for Xbox. I'm sure it's going to be $20 on Xbox pretty soon, Wombat. So maybe you want to pay attention.
You're going to spoil the whole thing for me. Do you punch a mirror in a hotel room? Does that happen? And then fall on the floor crying about your daddy?
No.
No.
So what did you think, Shipwreck, of Spec Ops?
I felt like I murdered a lot of dudes.
Yeah, there was a lot of murdering going on of American soldiers. In fact, the game taunts you as you're playing, and during the loading screens, and one of the things that it says on the bottom, one of the random messages is, how many Americans have you killed today? And the answer is a lot, a whole lot. So the game takes place in Dubai, where there was a major sandstorm that is basically wiping out the city, and you're sent in there to evacuate the survivors, and it turns out that there's some, you know, the other American soldiers that were sent in there have gone rogue, and you have to sort of figure out what's going on. And by figure out what's going on,
Shooting them in the face,
exactly, and blowing their heads off with sniper rifles and shotguns. Mm-hmm. And that's all the game, really. Sometimes you're on a helicopter with a chain gun, and sometimes you're on a turret, but you're always killing dudes. And sort of a big deal has been made about the game, about, you know, the horrors of war and the moral decisions that you have to make. But I was sort of disappointed on that front, because there wasn't nearly enough of that in proportion to the amount of straight up murdering that you were doing.
It took away from those decisions, because they didn't have any weight, because you just murdered like 80 guys to get to this decision where, are you going to save this guy or are you going to kill this guy? And you're going to kill him because you just killed 80 guys. What's this guy matter?
And there's not even that many moments where that happens. I mean, it's like one or two.
Probably three or four.
Really?
So you're saying there should have been a button on the controller where you could just hit it and the guy goes, hey. 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 Drop the gun. Hey.
Or something. Free. I don't know.
Hey.
I mean, in terms of the actual mechanics of the game, and you know, it's very solid. It's a very solid third-person shooter. It looks awesome on PC, I thought. It controls
great.
Press
X for hey.
Right.
Well, you can talk to that game, right?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I think you can. I think you can give, because you can tell your squad mates where to go and everything.
Right. That's okay. I didn't know it had voice support.
I think it has voice support.
You sure you're not thinking of Binary Domain?
I know Binary Domain has it, but I'm pretty sure Spec Ops has it as well.
Right. Well, maybe we'll talk more about Spec Ops, about the end game and the other stuff that happens, because I don't want to spoil it. Because I will admit that there was one or two moments in the game where I had an emotional response outside of, I got to shoot this guy in the head as fast as possible.
Let's talk about him later.
Let's talk about him later. So stay tuned after the show, and we will do 5 minutes on Spec Ops. I do want to mention that I started playing The Walking Dead. I downloaded it for... I went with the Xbox version. I'm too lazy. Of course, it's on sale on Steam now. But I'm really impressed with Walking Dead. And I have no Walking Dead experience. I watched one episode of the TV show, and that's my entire Walking Dead experience. But it's really engaging. I mean, they did a fantastic job with this. The dialogue is great. I mean, the voice acting is great. To get me to... I think, you know, what really makes the game intense is that, you know, you have a certain amount of the girl makes it intense, but the fact that you have a set amount of time to make your decisions, you're like, oh my God, what am I going to do? You know, I'm talking about dialogue decisions and, you know, basically choosing who to save in certain situations. It's solid, dude. Wombat, have you played it?
I played episode one.
You didn't think it was that great?
I like it. It's not for me.
Why not?
A little too much talky-talky.
But I like the talky-talky.
that's what the game is talky-talky.
I know. Exactly. It's not for me. It's just a little...
You'd rather just watch a television show.
Half the time, I felt like... You know what? When I first played episode one, and yes, I played it late at night-ish for me, I fell asleep.
9:30, you mean?
Yeah, 9:30, yes. Uh-huh. I fell asleep. And wow. You know, and it's not really the game's fault as much as I was just, you know, tired.
Right. Remind me not to bring Wombat along when the zombies come.
Look out! I'm so sleepy.
It's 9:30. God,
it's 9:30.
I'm going.
These zombies go to sleep already. I'm so tired.
Exactly.
Did you like it, Chip?
Yeah, I want to pick up the second episode. I haven't yet, but I kind of want to go back and play the first episode again with Gretchen. Just because I think it's good enough storytelling wise that it'd be fun to play with somebody else.
Yeah, Mrs. Cheapy, I made Mrs. Cheapy watch. She was very sort of meh about the whole thing when I first told her about it, but I think that she was into it by the end. I mean, I could see her having reactions to the game that, you know, beyond her just looking at her iPhone, which happens a lot. But she was into it, and it's intense, man. It's an intense game. I even if you don't care about Walking Dead at all, I think it's worth
giving it a shot. Don't need Walking Dead experience to play this game. Not even a little bit. It's definitely, I mean, it's unique and it's unlike anything else really I think that's out there.
It shares some similarities to Heavy Rain.
It's better than Heavy Rain.
Says Wombat. Says the guy who fell asleep while playing.
Exactly.
What happened when you played Heavy Rain? Did you murder your neighbor or something?
I'm pretty sure I said fuck this shit at least a dozen times.
Did you cut off one of your fingers while you were playing?
And I cut off one of my fingers.
I
masturbated out of boredom while playing Heavy Rain.
Right. And self-asphyxiated yourself?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I also like how it's episodic. So even if you're not sure it's something for you, you can just throw down $5. And that's why another reason why I didn't go with the PC version. I wasn't sure if it was going to be for me or not, but I was willing to give it a shot for $5. So yeah, I'm looking. I immediately downloaded episode two as soon as I finished the game, and we'll probably play that next week sometime. So excellent. Let's see what else we got here. Why don't we talk about, can we talk about Tony Hawk Pro Skater?
We can give some general impressions, no review type stuff yet.
It's a video game.
There we
skateboard,
go.
Skateboarding.
Uh-huh.
Yes, there is skateboarding in it.
You're the master of Tony Hawk Shipwreck, so I think it's on you too.
I've gotten all of the goals for the game one time through, like one skater done.
Jeez. That's insane to me.
Right.
Because I think I have like two goals done. Maybe right. two goals.
I got just enough to unlock the school, and that was I was struggling.
I played it quite a bit at E3 too, though. So I think it does a very good job. It feels right. It feels how you remember it. All the levels are laid out like you remember them.
Who's your skater?
I play that game I just go from left to right and play through every skater. So Tony Hawk was my skater.
I use my avatar.
Me
my
too.
My Xbox avatar. Because, yeah, why not?
Because that's what noobs do.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, I mean, how much are they charging for that?
I think it's 15.
Yeah, I think they're all 15, right? All the summer.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if all of them are, but I'm pretty sure this one's 15. We can talk about it more, I'm sure, when it gets closer, when Summer of Arcade starts. But
I think if you like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, then that's what this is, right? I mean, they did a fine job porting it.
It's a little bit of Pro Skater 1. It's a little bit of Pro Skater 2. It's not the entirety of both.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I don't know if it had so much staying power for me at this point. And I played a lot of those.
That sounds a little too reviewy.
Too reviewy? Okay, I better go and edit that out. That was me rewinding.
I just love the formula. Like, it gives you 2 minutes. You have all these different goals you can do. And then at the end of the 2 minutes, you're like, crap, I missed the E on skate. And then you start it back up again. And you do go get your skate. And then you get like a couple like of whatever other thing you were trying to get. So then the next time around, you go and do that. It's just like
autism, the game.
It is. I love it.
I love autism.
Love autism. It's very
I'm gonna,
popular.
I'm going to get
in Japan.
So many nasty messages for that joke.
Yeah. Let's see what else we have here. See, I don't know where to talk about my PC games because we don't have a PC area. So I'm just going to do
just
it
put
right
them
here.
In multi-platform. It's fine. No one cares. People are going to like point out that you didn't follow the format?
No.
No.
In fact, I try to disguise the fact that we even have a format at this point.
Exactly.
I got into the Shoot Mania beta, which is from the makers of Track Mania, which I also bought. Well, I didn't buy the beta for Shoot Mania, but so Shoot Mania is a first person is like a stripped down first person shooter to the bare essentials of first person shooting. So as far as I can tell, there's only one gun and you can jump and that's it. And you don't even see the gun in your hand while you're playing. You just see the crosshairs in front of you. And at least in the part that I was playing, you're on a big map with other players and there's a flagpole in the middle of the map. And when it's confusing what's going on. I think when somebody stands by the flagpole for long enough, then this force field closes in on the map, making the map smaller and smaller. And if you get touched by the force field, then you die. And basically the last person standing gets a lot of points. You get points based on how many shots you land on other players and how long you last and how much flag time you have. And that's pretty much the game. But there's something kind of cool about like a raw first person shooter like this. And you have a lot of people playing at the same time. And it's, I don't know, it's something to keep your eye out for. I'm gonna try to live stream it next week. Because it was kind of interesting to look at, I thought. And like I said, I also bought Track Mania 2, Canyon, which is from the same folks. And this is a racing game where most of the emphasis is on just improving your lap time on crazy tracks. You know, just totally whacked out stunt tracks that users have made themselves. Some of them come with the game. And in the multiplayer mode, you're doing the same thing with a bunch of people playing at the same time. And you're trying to get the best lap time. And you can just instantly restart as soon as you crash. And you see the other players playing, but they're just ghosts. Like, you can't actually crash into them. But it looks really cool watching all these cars go by, you know, at the same time on these crazy tracks. Even Mrs. Cheapy commented how cool the game looked. So I've only played like a half an hour of each of those. So that's about all I have to say at this point. But I'll be on Twitch TV next week playing both of them, hopefully.
I tried out some of your Tribes game.
My Tribes game?
Yeah. You play that game.
I do.
I played it for like 2 matches.
Yeah.
I killed 2 people.
That's good.
I died 3 times.
That's good.
And I jumped around and skied a lot.
That's what you should be doing. You're doing it right.
That game seems pretty fun.
It's awesome. It's a pretty steep learning curve, I feel, in terms of everything, basically, that you have to do. The skiing, even shooting the other guys, because everybody's moving so quickly that you have to take into account your momentum, their momentum. A lot of stuff going on. We got to play it together. Send Shipwreck friend requests. He's Boat Crash. And I'm GPD.
I really want to know what you think of Kingdoms of Amalur.
Now, the problem is I've only played like the first 40 minutes of it, which is the same exact part that I played on the Xbox demo. But I will say it looks infinitely better on PC. This is the game that we saw at E3 where we both were like, wow, this looks awesome. It's a big improvement. So I unfortunately can't really say any more than that. And even Mrs. Cheapy was impressed with the how it looks. And of course you can use a controller with it. I don't know. I think I'm into it just because it looks good. And my plan, tell me if you think this is a good plan or not, since you guys both have a lot of experience. I'm not going to mess around with the side quests. Just want to just go straight forward, just do the main quests and try to blow through it.
I support this plan.
And here's something, and you hearing this from me, this should hold some weight. You don't need to keep anything. As soon as you find you're getting a little encumbered, just sell everything. You'll find something else in about 4 minutes.
I see there's a junk pile. You can mark stuff as junk.
You could just send everything to your junk pile, go out and sell it, and then you'll be fine.
Okay, I haven't even gotten to the store yet, Ernie. I don't even know how that works. So, okay, I will do that. I will take that advice. Oh my God, what was that? So the NPDs came out.
They did, and the best-selling game.
Yep.
The Batman, the Lego Batman.
It's a great game.
The game that came out for every system.
Yep. So, even Vita. That's how you know.
Yeah.
When you come out for Vita. Then you know you're on every system. I recommend this game a lot.
Copies.
I would keep a lookout to see if it goes on sale on Steam, because the PC version is quite nice.
The most amazing thing is
$23 on Steam right now, I think.
Did you see what the number 6 game is?
Batman Arkham City.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
The Game of the Year edition, it came out, but still, even chart. To sell more copies, a game that's almost a year old sold more copies than the new Spider-Man game.
Right. I don't know when what part in the month. It must have been at the very end of the month, though, right?
I think it came out, was it the last week or the week before the last week of the month for Spider-Man? Still, Lollipop Chainsaw only sold 107,000 copies.
Amazing Spider-Man was like the last, like just the last couple of days.
Yeah.
Because that movie came out on July 4th and that game came out the Tuesday before that. So
I wonder if they're happy. Lollipop Chainsaw sold 107,000, you say? They might be happy with that. I mean, the Shadows of the Dam sold like 20,000 when it came out, its first reporting time.
I think they Warner Brothers did a much better job advertising Lollipop Chainsaw than EA did advertising Shadows of the Damned.
Yeah.
Now granted, it's easier to advertise Lollipop Chainsaw.
Girls with short skirts on.
Yeah. The one I find interesting, number 2 was Ghost Recon Future Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know anybody wanted that game.
I don't know anyone, and I haven't heard anyone really talking about that game either. Like usually, you know, when a game sells a lot, there's some buzz about it, but really, no.
Especially, you know, Ghost Recon, that franchise, I think, I thought it was on its last legs, but, you know, it didn't. It sold. We don't know how many it sold. It sold less than 450,000. That's all we know, because that's what Lego Batman did.
Yes.
Anyway, on the hardware side, Xbox is number 1 again, and Sony didn't announce the PS3 numbers again, and Wombat is putting his cursor over it, so I can't read the numbers. The 3DS, interesting. So the 3DS sold 155,000 units, and the regular DS sold 150,000 units. And Sony didn't release the Vita or PSP numbers, but they're estimated at less than 100,000 using some PR math, I guess.
And the 3DS is now officially sold over 5 million 3DSs in the United States, according to an announcement they made today.
Okay.
So does that make the 3DS successful, would you say?
I don't know. You have to see how it compares to the regular DS during that time frame. I'm sure it's a lot less. I'm sure it's way less.
Way less.
Way less. Let's move on. Let's talk about some of the Kickstarter madness that's been going on lately, because that was also a majority of the topics and questions that our listeners had for the show this week. USFH Bomb asks, which Kickstarter would you be more likely to contribute to, Penny Arcade or Oh Yeah? I don't even know how you pronounce that. And Lick Chan wants to know what Wombat specifically thinks about the Penny Arcade Kickstarter. So let's go ahead and talk about the Penny Arcade Kickstarter first, where they are asking for money to remove the ads on their site. That is the focus of their Kickstarter.
Well, if they hit their first goal, they only remove the 720x90, the top leaderboard, from the homepage.
Right. There's different levels that they have to reach to remove all the ads from the site. So, but the first ad disappears at 250,000, and I think, I don't know. I mean, I don't really care about the specifics of that. But so what do you think, Wombat? Did that get your juices flowing, or you think it's a good idea?
It's two prongs. There's part of it.
And you're in internet advertising, so I think you're especially qualified to talk about this.
In many ways, I might be. This is what I'm thinking. First of all, if you go to Penny Arcade right now,
right,
and you look at their site, I mean, the only ad I've seen in that unit space, so we're talking about the top leaderboard, I'm there right now, and now it's an ad for Red Tide, which is a game that Penny Arcade must have some sort of affiliation with because they did all the artwork for the ads.
I think if you pay them more, they do the artwork for the ads.
Is that what it is?
And some sites do that.
They have Magic the Gathering ads. Now, Magic the Gathering are the only ads I've seen on that site that would come from a third party.
Well, Penny Arcade, remember, they say that they only will advertise games or products that they personally approve. So they,
which is all fine and good, but there's probably more than I have a feeling that Magic the Gathering isn't the only thing they approve of. But as of right now, I mean, based off of, you know, guesstimation, they may have one or two paid sponsors on the site right now. And in order to do a Kickstarter like this, that means that they have nothing coming down the tubes in the next month, in the next 33 days. You're not going to sign a contract with an advertiser
and then say, oh, forget it. We're going to do this Kickstarter.
So I have a feeling that my gut tells me that this might be more necessity than for the fans. Because, you know, I'm working with clients now on things that are going to happen during the holiday season.
Okay.
So if my company decided to do a Kickstarter and remove all ads,
it couldn't start until 2013.
Essentially. Or later. Actually, later than that.
Okay.
Due to prior commitments. They're willing to start this in 33 days.
Okay. So what do you think about them asking their readership to support the site?
I don't have any problem with the site saying, hey, we need your donations to keep our site alive.
Okay.
That's fine. If you're if you have $5 and you love Penny Arcade and you want to give Penny Arcade your $5, that's fine. I don't think that's the goal of Kickstarter.
Right. I've read some of the discussion on NeoGAF where it's pretty heated, and that is one of the major complaints, that Kickstarter is supposed to be for, you know, new ideas, new businesses, and this is an already established successful business. You know, what exactly is getting quote unquote kickstarted here?
Nothing. Nothing is getting kickstarted.
Their wallets. It's
exactly. And even that's kind of suspect. I mean, $250,000, to be perfectly honest, at a company of 15 people, it's not going to get you very far.
Well, they're going to make a lot more than that.
That's the thing with the Kickstarter stuff. Like, you start it there, and then it just keeps going.
I bet you they make over 500.
Their goal was very conservative. Do you think $500,000 is enough to maintain a company of 15 employees?
They have a lot over a year of other revenue streams besides the advertising.
I was going to say, I mean, where is this $500,000 going to go? Does it go? I mean, and they said the weird things also, like their sales team will become editorial. I read somewhere or something like that. I mean, I don't get it. There's a lot about it I can't quite wrap my head around. I feel like someone is going to lose their job if they actually meet their goal.
But it
all comes down to, if you have $5 and want to give it to Penny Arcade, that is your $5 and you could do with it whatever you want.
People must think it's a good idea. The money's flowing in.
I'm actually shocked that they haven't met their goal yet and it's been up for 3 days. I thought they would meet their goal on day one.
Well, they're gonna meet it very soon.
They'll probably meet it by Monday.
Ship, what do you think of this thing?
It's fine. Whatever. I'm not gonna contribute money to it because
right. No, me neither.
To me, like, I don't mind ads.
Me neither.
Well, that was the other thing. Yeah.
Unless they're like these big obnoxious, you know, takeover ads, you know, those are pretty annoying.
Right.
They
if they're popping up or up in front or behind my browser window or
right.
Like the ones on CBS Sports are just terrible because they start out small and then they like take up your whole screen and then it like takes a couple seconds and then it gives you the screen back.
Right. But I can also understand that, you know, they don't want to even have to deal with advertising if they can get their fans to support them, then they don't even have to worry about advertising. It's just something, one less thing that they have to deal with. And also they want to feel like they're working directly for the fans and not for the advertisers. I don't know.
Sure.
But but even that is sort of, it's creating a problem that doesn't exist. I don't think that the sponsors for Penny Arcade are telling them what they can and can't do.
Absolutely not. I can guarantee that that's not happening.
They may say that that's happening. It sounds like
They don't say that that's happening. They don't say that that's happening. I think they're just saying they don't want to have to deal with having ads on the site and, you know, buying ads, worrying about if they're going to get more ads or whatever.
Because,
which I can understand.
Yeah, because every site worries about that.
Sure. I mean, look, if you know, I'm lucky in that I don't need. I have run a very different business than they do. I have very low overhead. I don't need to sell anything to my users or ask for money from my users. And I'm against doing that because it's just completely unnecessary. If I do that, it's just like, I feel like I'm being greedy at that point. Even if it's like selling t-shirts, I feel like it's cheesy to me. And I I'm not making any judgment on Penny Arcade. I'm just saying for CAG, for the CAG business, for me, it's completely unnecessary. And it's something that I don't have to do. So I prefer not to do it.
So we're going to put Wombat in charge of the Kickstarter then.
Actually, I'm going to do a Kickstarter to have more ads on this. I want to do a Kickstarter so I can hire a full-time ad guy. It could be Wombat.
No, thanks.
You don't want it? What if I could raise your big salary for you on Kickstarter?
I don't think so.
No?
I honestly wouldn't have the contacts to go out and do it.
Oh.
If you really want to know the God's honest truth, I wouldn't.
Right.
I'm not the person you want to be your one and only first-time ad sales rep. Besides the fact that I hate sales.
Right. So, I don't know. I mean, the fact that people are giving money, I think, justifies that it's a good idea, at least for them.
What about Ouya? Is that a Ouya? Good idea?
Ouya.
I don't understand what all the excitement is about Ouya. And I think it also applies to the Penny Arcade Kickstarter in that people get totally like out of their minds with Kickstarter. Like they feel like they're going to be missing out on something if they don't get their money into it. And I've been guilty of that too.
Have you done Kickstarters?
I've done three Kickstarters.
Okay.
I've done the Pebble eWatch, which everybody has done.
Oh, you did that one? I didn't do that one.
I've done any of them.
I've done that.
I haven't done any.
I did the Republica one because I don't know why. I might have been under the influence of something at the time. Well, actually, well, I know, you know, I know those guys.
Yes.
And I felt like I would, if I've ever ran into them, I wanted to be able to say that I was involved somehow. You know, it would just be like awkward. And the other one I did was the documentary about the Chinatown Fair arcade in New York. I felt somehow connected to that because Mrs. Cheapy and I spent a lot of time there while we were courting. that's a very modern term, isn't it? Courting?
Yeah, that's what all the kids say.
We played a lot of DDR there after we would eat dim sum. So I felt I gave way too much money to that, by the way. I think I'm a producer on that. I think I'm going to be in the opening credits. But hopefully that movie comes out because that would suck if it didn't. But this Ouya thing, like, I don't see what the big selling point is. The big selling point is that I can play Android quality games on my TV. I can play Angry Birds on my TV.
There's something we're missing. There has to be something that we're not understanding with it.
I don't think so.
It's a console that's $100.
How good can it be for $100?
I don't know.
Like, what are people expecting to get for a console? And keep in mind, they have to make a profit on that, I'm assuming. Well, maybe not. Maybe they're subsidizing it. So maybe the actual tech that's in there is worth more than $100. But it can't be much more. So what kind of quality?
And it's hackable.
Right. So that means anything that you play online is going to be completely corrupt.
I have no idea what it all means. Honestly, I'm a firm believer.
It has RAM, right?
Yeah. It does have RAM.
Okay, good.
You know, I've mentioned
one
this on,
gig
the,
of RAM.
On the show many, many times. Until I can hold it, it doesn't exist.
Well, yeah. Well, clearly in this case, that's more and more true than probably any other time that you've said that. It really doesn't exist.
It really does. This is something that doesn't exist. And you are, you know, paying in advance for a promise.
Right. And when you look at the fact here, it says, okay, what kind of games will be on Ouya or whatever? It says, Ouya will offer the best games possible and a wide range of them. What the hell does that mean? The best games possible given the hardware that it's on. Great. I mean, Atari 2600 had the best games possible, but it was limited by its hardware. And then it says a lot, you know, one of the big selling points were that the games are all going to be free. But when you look at the fine print, it says
every game will be free.
It says every game will be free to play. What this means is that it will be at least have a free demo or you'll be able to play the entirety of the game for free. So, great. So, every Xbox Live Arcade game is free. Sweet. I don't know. I don't understand what the hype is. I'm not ready to dedicate one of my four HDMI ports to this thing. I'm assuming that Apple's going to come up with something that's better. And even if they don't, I don't know.
A, I don't know about that. And B, I don't know if I'd want an Apple version of the same thing either.
No. I mean, like Apple TV, so I would keep that just from the movie stuff on there and the Netflix, but
my theory on this was that they were actually, you know, and the amount of money that they've raised is ridiculous, that $4.2 million.
Right, in like 4 days.
I really thought that initially this was kind of a marketing tool where even if they met their goal of $950,000 or close to it, they could go to investors and say, look how interested people are in this. Give us real money.
Right, right. I'm sure that's the case. Right?
Yeah. And I could see that. I don't know if $4.2 million is enough to engineer and produce this console. I still think they need backers from real investors.
I don't understand how they're going to engineer and produce this console by March.
Is that what they said?
Yeah, it's supposed to come out in March of 2013.
Yeah, this is
so it's less than a year.
It's like 9 months.
Right.
Maybe they have the thing designed.
Maybe they got an Xbox pregnant, and that's what Xbox gives birth to.
They have to get in a queue somewhere. Like, there's just not factories sitting around waiting.
Foxconn.
Right, but they have to get in that queue.
Yeah. You know, you're an engineer. You know these things. We don't know jack shit.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just pretty easy to understand that factories just don't sit around
waiting to make your console,
waiting for this new product to get funded on Kickstarter.
Mr. Ouya, Mr. Ouya, we're ready for your console, Mr. Ouya.
Right. So yeah. It's going to take like specific assembly lines and tooling. There's a lot of factors that go into producing something to like a mass market audience, like they're trying to do here. It's a really aggressive schedule. I will say that.
Okay. I don't know. I have no interest into it until it becomes a real thing. Like Wombat says, I just will ignore it because why not?
Kickstarter is slowly becoming a wasteland of empty promises and taking your money.
Right.
Exactly. So, and by Phantom slowly ever come out?
I mean quickly.
No,
this is the Phantom.
Do you remember the Phantom? The only thing that came out from the Phantom, I believe, was the keyboard. They wound up selling the lap keyboard. I think that was as far as they got. What else we got here? Let's see. Hype Wagon. I see there's something on the Hype Wagon.
Oh, yeah. I put this on there because I don't know if it's real or true or not, but the rumor is that Rocksteady is going, next Batman game is going to be a Silver Age Batman game, which has me very excited. And should have you very excited too, GB.
Silver Age, it means that it's just the old drawing style? Is that it?
Well, the 60s is considered the Silver Age. Lego Batman 2 is very Silver Age in its attitude.
But not the look, though, is it?
Not necessarily. I mean, you know, the Silver Age, the only difference would be Batman would be wearing the blue and gray as opposed to black.
I'm Googling Silver Age Batman, so I know what I'm getting into.
Is this the one where he has a helicopter?
He has a helicopter. Yes, he has the helicopter and the Batmobile with the big, big fins on the back.
Wait, this is Adam West Batman we're talking about.
Not more necessarily. I mean, yes, the Silver Age is when the show.
I don't want this at all. I don't want this at all, dude. Oh, I want kick ass Batman.
I think a Silver Age Batman could kick ass. I think Silver Age Batman. I think there definitely needs to be a balance between, you know, it can't be all sitting around saying great work, old chum. But I do like the idea of, you know, even that, like, playing as a younger acrobatic Robin could be kind of a cool thing to be able to do in this game. You know, nope. I love the blue and gray Batman costume.
Robin will never be cool.
Robin will never be cool. But I think,
don't know.
You don't know? I think that, you know, using other characters it would also be helpful. But there's a lot of crazy shit that happened in those days. So, I mean, just look at some of these crazy old covers. Or, you know, Batman goes to outer space and Batman, you know.
That's what we need. Batman goes to outer space. That's what
I like. I like, you know, the Joker having all the Joker themed stuff and the crazy traps and the Silver Age Justice League showing up. And yes, it's definitely, it's lighter in tone. That's for sure. It's not as dark. It won't be as gritty. It's not going to be Penguin with warts and folds in his skin.
It seems like a really weird choice, though.
But it doesn't mean that Batman can't go around punching the shit out of people.
Don't you think?
That's just it, though. I assume that Batman beats the crap out of people the same way.
But don't you think it's a tougher sell? Like when you show the, you know, Batman Arkham City and Arkham Asylum, you see those commercials on TV. You see the kick-ass Batman that everybody loves from the most recent movies, more or less. But I feel like going back to this, it's a tougher sell.
It might be. I don't disagree with you. I think it's a bold, I think if they do this, it's kind of a rumor right now. I think that they have their work cut out for them. I think it's definitely a more difficult game to make, which is why there's part of me that would be very excited to see them try to make a Silver Age Batman game that works. Because I do think it could be done.
I guess. Well, we'll have to wait and see. We don't really. It's still a rumor. So
it's still a rumor. Yeah. I mean, who knows? Nothing exists yet.
Right. Here's something that exists. Dyad for PlayStation 3.
I played that game.
And we were all sent a code for review. In fact, we have some to give away. on the show by the developer. Did everybody play it?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
What did you think, Wombat?
I like it.
You do? Because this doesn't seem like a game that I would have you pegged to like.
I enjoyed it. No, it's. I mean, it's a simple game. It reminds me of, I guess, Rez is that an apt?
It has electronic music and
it looks like a laser light show.
Yeah, but Rez had more sort of substance to the graphics. Like there was actually.
Yeah, there's like things in it. This isn't quite like that. It's more of you're in a tomb.
More of a Tempest.
The Tempest comparison, where you're hooking these orbs to move faster and you want to get chains by matching colors, essentially. And it plays really cool music and it's kind of trippy and it's a fun game to play, like 5-10 minutes at a time.
I thought it was cool how as you play through the game, your objectives change. You're not always just doing the same thing. There's different play mechanics that come around. Sort of keeps things fresh. I liked it. It made me wish I was under the influence of something while I was playing it.
It made my contact fall out.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you have like a very long play session?
Well, I mean, those things go on. Like if you play like the three sections of some of those levels, like right in a row, those go on for like, I don't know, 5 or 6 minutes.
Did you finish the first tier of levels?
I think I'm in the last tier. I was going through the way it's set up. You have I think it's just called the game level, and then you have the trophy level, and then you have the remix level.
Right.
So I was going through and playing the game level and then the trophy level.
Oh, okay.
So I'm on the last stage of that, like first group of levels.
Right. There's a big emphasis on, you know, beating scores on the leaderboard.
Mm-hmm.
Although I wish it was sort of better integrated in, you know, where you didn't have to
showed you when you were about to beat one of your friends, that would be pretty cool.
I always like that in a game, and you know, you have to go in and actually show, you know, select the leaderboard instead of just having it display it to you, because it seems like that's a big focus of the game. So
does yours take a long time to save and load those high scores? Like after every level, mine, I thought it almost froze one time.
I don't remember noticing that. I've noticed that on a lot of PlayStation games. The leaderboards always seem to be a problem. It's never as smooth as it should be. But I liked the game. I thought it was pretty cool.
I wish it would let me blink. That's my biggest problem with it. And then like the way it's got all these bright lights and everything. And then every level like ends by the screen getting blurry. And every time that happens, I think I've just like lost part of my vision or something. Something has gone horribly wrong.
I didn't have any problem with my eyes while I was playing. It makes me wonder if this, I mean, the game doesn't have 3D support.
Eyes would just bleed then.
That game doesn't need 3D support. It is a lot of fun. I kind of wish I could add my own soundtrack and play that game while listening to Dark Side of the Moon, but you know.
Right. Well, the trophy part of those games, you have to listen to the music that's going on in the game to know which pairs you need to hook. So like there's no colors for the guys you have to hook onto. You have to listen to the tone they make when you target them. So that might not work so good. But I like Dyad. It comes out next week. What is it? What's the price on that? Is that $15 and there's a discount if it's... let me see. Hold on. I think there's a PlayStation discount here. Let me just give you. It's $11.99 for PlayStation Plus subscribers, $15 for everybody else, and it comes out on July 17th. And I have how many codes do I have to give away? I have two codes to give away. How should we give them away?
Post in the show forum thread.
You know what? Let's reward our early listeners, and the first two people who ask for the Dyad code in the show thread will get it.
Sounds
We've never
good
done
to me.
That before.
No, it works for me. Yeah, why not?
Okay, because we have fans that actually stay up late waiting for the show to come on.
And the last person to post gets the Frogger code.
I don't even know.
Well, they know how people serious? Like waiting. Like you will have people that won't post and will wait till the last second. So you can't do
that. Seriously, yeah, you can't. That's not going to work. How are you going to give away the Frogger code? How about the first person to ask Shipwreck for it on Twitter gets it?
That sounds fair.
No? Okay. Gets the Frogger code.
I just sent you a tweet. No, I'm just kidding.
Cheater.
That's a joke.
Last item here, I think.
We could just go right to the keg bag.
There's only one question in the keg bag.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah, we don't... I mean, just do this real quick, whoever put it on here.
The 3DS XL will be sold as a profit. But that's not what I thought was interesting. Because Shipwreck brought this up last week, and I read this, and I thought it was interesting. 3D likely a minor element in future Nintendo devices. So you mentioned this last week, Shipwreck, that you felt that Nintendo wasn't pushing 3D anymore, and it turns out you were correct. Nintendo is not pushing 3D anymore.
3D sucks in everything.
It does.
Until it's a hologram that shoots out of your screen like Star Trek, then it sucks and should be ignored. There's only, I think we answered most of the questions already. The only question that I have in the keg bag is from BeachBum662, and he wants us to talk about the features that the keg app is going to have. I'm curious as hell if it'll just browse forums. It'll also show deals. It's going to be, and if you watch my live stream on twitch.tv/gbazgamer, I actually displayed some screenshots of the keg app. It's going to do, I believe it's going to do both. I know that it's going to be more focused on the deals so that, there's a button that you can push and it'll make that noise. That's for sure. But you'll be able to type in the name of any game and it'll give you all the latest prices as well as give you threads that are relevant to on KAG for the deals that just would not show up in a data feed, like, you know, gift card deals and things like that. I'm assuming that's going to be on there because that's going to be one of the new features of the site. And you'll also be able to manage your collection and wish list on there. It's not just going to be a forum browser. It's going to be a deal browser and much, much more. And with that, I think it's time to wrap things up. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/cheapassgamer. Follow us on Twitter, CheapED, Wombat5277, and Shipwreck, who you need to send a tweet to get that hot Frogger action. And what else? Remove us from iTunes, because we don't belong there. No, review us on iTunes. And, oh yeah, how about get your free 30-day trial at audible.com and your free audiobook? Go to audibletrial.com/cagcast. And yes, oh, thank you, Shipwreck, or whoever put that on there. Stay tuned for the Spec Ops spoiler cast, which is going to start right now.
Don't forget to dig us.
Right. Are you going to stick around for the spoiler cast, Wombat?
No, I think I'm going to. I will get ready. Stop. Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
Good night, okay, everybody. Bye. I'm sorry if I offended you.
What do you mean?
I said like 3 or 4 offensive things this episode.
Okay. Later. Okay. Spoiler fest. Spec Ops: The Line. So earlier I mentioned that although a lot of the reviews made mention, well, actually, I didn't read any reviews, but I read the headlines of the reviews.
What did the headlines mention?
Right. The headlines mentioned that, or at least implied that there were like these big moral decisions that needed to be made, and it's going to make you have a different view on war and war games, and it was very unique in that regard. The only time that I even felt like that was a factor in the game was the scene where you're dropping the white phosphorus on everybody.
Yeah, that stuff's nasty.
And you, by accident, you nail like 50 civilians with the white phosphorus, and then you...
Then you see, look like, at their corpses.
Yeah, you see a very graphic view of that. And I obviously am not too fond of killing innocent civilians in that manner, in such a grotesque manner. So the first thing I did when I saw that was go to Google to see if there was any way that I could not do that. And I don't believe that there was.
I don't see how there would be, because that's that's kind of a turning point in the game.
Right.
It's like from that point forward, you're kind of crazy.
Right. And you can even tell that, you know, the in-game noises that you make, you know, the little like one-liners that you throw off when you're reloading and you're, you know, fighting and stuff. Your guy sounds a lot angrier and crazier, which I thought was an interesting touch. And yeah, and I guess that's the point where you might realize that you're starting to lose your mind and some of the stuff you may be imagining.
Right.
And so the other, you mentioned there was a few different choices in the game that you had. So there was,
there's
the dude's hanging from the bridge.
Yeah, that one was dumb. I just shot the one that my cursor was lined up with.
Okay. I tried to shoot the snipers. That didn't work.
Right.
Just kill you.
That's the other thing, is that you can't game the system. Like, you have to choose one of their choices.
Right.
Maybe one of the earlier ones is there's a CIA agent
that save,
or you can save civilians.
Right. What, I went for the CIA agent.
I went for the civilians.
Oh, okay. But the CIA agent died anyway.
Yeah.
Did the civilians die also?
No, the civilians.
Right.
That might be the same civilians that you toast later.
Right. See, I knew I'd get them later.
Right.
All right. So there was that. And then at the very end of the game, when you, obviously, big spoilers, the very end of the game where, you know, this, the whole game is a very loose interpretation of the Heart of Darkness by Joseph Conrad. You confront your Kurtz, or in this game, Conrad, who is supposed to be the mastermind of this whole, you know, insurrection and of the American troops. And now you're not sure if this dude was all in your mind or not. And it seems like he was, right? Am I saying this correctly?
That's as much as I thought as I wanted to put into it. Yes.
Right. Okay. So you get to the very end, of course, and the guy, you're talking to this guy and he's telling you that he exists in your mind, and you have the decision whether to shoot him or to shoot yourself. I'm assuming that you shot him.
I did. Again, that was where the cursor was lined up.
Right.
I made a lot of tough moral decisions.
Yeah, that's not much of a moral decision. I can't imagine very many people on their first try shot themselves. So, yeah, I shot him. And then after you shoot him, of course, you have the little epilogue there where you're just sort of sitting outside and some more American troops come, and they've come to pick you up and take you back. And you have another choice. Because you're holding a gun, and they're telling you to drop the weapon, and they realize that you're shell-shocked, and you have the choice whether or not to drop the weapon or just start shooting them. Which did you do, Ship?
I dropped the weapon.
Right. I did that too. But I actually went back and I did everything. So
how'd that turn out?
If you start shooting them,
I bet then you die.
You die, yes. And as you're bleeding out, you know, have some soliloquy where you talk about, I guess, how war is hell, basically. It wasn't that exciting. Hmm. And I also went back and did the one where instead of shooting Conrad, you kill yourself. And yeah, the game basically just ends. You obviously don't get
no epilogue then, huh?
No epilogue for that. What was there? Any other? There's no other real choice there, I guess. But, you know, I got to say, by the time I got to the end of the game, I was so tired of killing dudes that any sort of moral implications that the game was trying to impart to me, I was basically lost.
I think that was the fact that they framed it so much around Heart of Darkness, which we're all familiar with the story already going into it.
Right.
That combined with just the overwhelming numbers of dudes that you killed. Like, you and your two buddies take down like an entire nation worth.
Yeah, like a platoon, a whole platoon of American soldiers, basically.
Yeah.
A big platoon.
And other people. Like, there were some other people I felt like I was shooting in there too.
Yes, there's some, the refugees.
Yeah.
Or the resistance or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so many of them. And I mean, it does come across as like emotionally heavy, the game does, because right. I could only play like for a couple hours and then I had to kind of like set it aside. I don't know.
For emotional reasons or because you just got tired of killing dudes?
I was just getting bummed out. Like, I don't know. Like, it just, it's not a very bummed out.
It's not fun.
Fun to play. Like, the shooting stuff is fine, but there's like, I don't know. They didn't need to have that many dudes.
Right.
They could have cut down a few dudes in this game.
Did you have to switch to easy difficulty?
No, but I almost did because there's this part where you just have to like run from a helicopter.
Oh, I had already switched to easy difficulty. Oh, no, I did not switch at that point. That was inside like a hotel or something?
Yeah, yeah. And it's just, I think it's pretty much just random.
Oh, okay.
Because like, I did it like 9 times and I was doing it the same way every time. And then the 9th time, like all of a sudden I got through the running without getting mowed down.
Right. I think I thought about, I can't remember. Okay. I thought about doing it on the parking garage part, which was pretty difficult, but I didn't. I stuck with my standard difficulty. But then when I got to this one point where you come out onto the desert and some sort of armored transport rolls up and a heavy guy comes out and a bunch of guys come out. It's the one part with the boats in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
The boats. And there's the heavy guy comes out and a dude with a knife.
You mean the level that they had us play at E3?
Oh, the hardest level in the game? That was the E3 level?
The E3 demo was the third to last stage in the game.
I tried it like more than 10 times, and eventually I said, this is just, it's killing me. I have to switch to easy. And then I think I played the rest of the game like that because I just wanted to be done with it at that point. But I would say it's, you know, keep an eye. It's certainly a competent third-person shooter. So when the game gets cheap enough, I would say it's worth your time to just check it out. But I don't think it's any great shakes, you know. I don't think it changes the game, so to speak. I don't know if any of the reviews said that they thought it was something exceptional, but
no, I've seen some people commenting on how this is a new form of like war storytelling.
It kind of is.
It is. It's definitely not the Michael Bay Call of Duty style of war game.
Right. I think I maybe like the more fun version where I just don't have to worry about caring so much. Maybe. I don't know. It didn't work for me that much, the Spec Ops, but I don't know. I would still recommend people check it out if it gets cheap enough. I would say $20 ish or rental. Actually, rental is the way to go.
Yeah, it's only about 6 hours long, I think.
It took me 8, I think, because I died a lot. At least Steam told me. I tried some multiplayer too, which like is pretty difficult because nobody was playing it. But I don't know. So did we miss anything that we need to discuss about this game? I don't think so.
It's pretty much the same game throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, it does. I will say that when you're in like when you're in the helicopter and you have the big chain gun and you're shooting down buildings and other helicopters.
Mm-hmm.
The destruction engine in the game is really good. I mean, it looked fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Blowing out the windows. It just looks amazing.
And you got to see it twice.
Yeah. I don't know what was going, what was that all about?
He's going crazy.
Right. Cause yeah, you replay like a certain scene. He's like, wait a minute. Didn't we do this already? Didn't this happen already? I guess he's having flashbacks.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
It was a war flashback in the middle of the game.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that about covers it. So yeah, Spec Ops. I guess we didn't we only recommend it as a rental or super cheap pickup, I guess. Unless you really need to kill innocent people. All right. Well, that's it. We'll see you next week.
Bread's done.
You know, kids, the kitchen ain't a playground. There's a lot of danger hiding in here. That dangling cord can be a disaster. Especially if they grab hold and yank me.
My cord should be up!
Hey, you said it. Keep dangling cords out of reach. Delicious cookies can be a tempting treat.
I should be over there.
Keep goodies away from heat. So kids don't get more than a treat. There's a lot of things in here that can burn you.
Oh, me?
By itself, it's harmless, but filled with scalding hot water.
I just wait for a child to grab my handle, then.
Uh-oh, a really bad brain. So to stay out of hot water, keep those pot handles turned in.